All right, we will just turn to Proverbs something. We'll be in there a lot today. I guess you could start with Proverbs 17. That'd be a good place to start. I'll venture out of Proverbs a little bit, but most of our verses will come right out of here. So I usually have I have less time in this class than I usually do in Growing in Grace. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to teach an old lesson. I'm going to come up with a new one and limit it. So I came up with a new one. I got the first half of that right. Anyway, the limiting, well, we'll see what we get accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and it's so helpful. I pray that you would use this topic, your word, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give us some help, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I really do believe this is a very needed and important topic. And I want to start with Proverbs 17, verse 28. Title of the lesson, if you don't have a handout, it's Bite Your Tongue. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So when God says, when you shut up, you actually might appear to be more wise than you really are. Americans take great pride in speaking their mind. Do they not? And in fact, that has caught on around the world. And we cherish our First Amendment right, and rightly so. It's okay to be thankful for the First Amendment because it protects our freedom of speech. However, let me say that that's not the only right we have as Americans. My son reminded me of Miranda this week. He pulled out the Miranda rights and, you know, warning and read them to someone. And then after he read them, they still went on and spoke and incriminated themselves. He said, okay, well, you're under arrest. So, you know, police will, part of that warning is you have the right to remain silent, right? And sometimes a suspect's speech will get him in trouble and he'd be better off not talking. And that applies to other areas of our lives, doesn't it? When we're not careful, our speech will get us in trouble. It'll get us in trouble with our authorities, gets us in trouble with our families, our friends, our coworkers. So you may say, well, but the First Amendment, man, it guarantees me the right to say whatever I want. Can I remind you that there is a higher law? And that is the Bible. The law of God is higher than the law of this land. And God has the right to dictate what we say, how we say it, and when we say it. And too many people are like, but I'm an American. I can do whatever I want and say whatever I want. You know, if you've ever traveled abroad, you'll find that you can't always do what you want, say what you want, and go where you want. It's just not a fact of life, okay? And God actually puts restrictions on us. We live in an age where people, most people have believed that they're not only entitled to their opinion, but that their opinion must always be shared. You know, sometimes it's really not good if you share your opinion, right? When someone says, how do you like the food? People blab on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all sorts of other places. You ever get an email, get upset, and man, the fingers are like lightning, right? I mean, you're just going to let them have it, right? And you do, and you hit send, and there's this great satisfaction that you sent it, and then you're like, probably shouldn't have sent that. All right? There are some times that we'd be better off if we just bit our tongue. That phrase, bite your tongue, means to stop yourself from saying something even though you really, really want to say it. And sometimes you just got to bite your tongue. The world would be a lot better place if everyone followed God's guidelines on speech? Wouldn't it? I mean, if we all just follow what God said about what we say, how we say it, and all that, we'd have a really pleasant world. But people don't follow that. And unfortunately, Christians get dragged into the same way of speaking and thinking that the unsaved world does. So I want to learn a little bit about controlling our speech from God's word that I think will be helpful. The point of the lesson is to show us that there's a problem. I hope I've already started to do that. And then give some solutions to this. So I want to look at the outline quickly. First of all, number one, we're going to answer this question. Why should you control your speech? Why? I can say what I want. I can do what I want. Well, why? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, your speech reveals what you are. You are either wise or foolish. There's no other options. You're either a wise person or a fool. And what you say actually tells people what you are. Proverbs 15, verse 2, was real close there to where we were. Proverbs 15, 2, it says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright." Now he contrasts this, "But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." You know, the more you run your mouth, the more likely you are to be foolish. And so we're talking about the tongue of the wise. He uses knowledge the right way. Fools just pour out foolishness, uselessness, silliness, things that just aren't helpful. And so when we speak, well, let me ask you, when you speak, what do people think of you? Is this guy a wise person or a fool? And isn't it interesting? The one who's the fool, does he think he's a fool? He doesn't even think he's a fool. But everyone else around him is listening like, man, you are an idiot. But he thinks he's, you know, waxing eloquent. So your speech reveals what you are, who you are. So you're either wise or foolish. And the second one, you're either righteous or wicked. There's no other options there. Either you're a righteous person or a wicked person. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, "The heart of the righteous studieth." That word means to ponder. So the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. "But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." You get that idea? The fool and the wicked person both have something in common. That they're just pouring, just words are just pouring out of their mouth. So goes back to our original verse that we start with, 17:28. It says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." You know, so what you say and how you say it reveals a lot about you. So what should we do? Be very careful. And that's why there are times we should just bite our tongue. That's why there are times we should, well, not at times, we should always control our speech. Because it reveals what we are. Secondly, your speech, and my speech, your speech has the power to hurt or heal. That's why we ought to control what we say. Because words that come out of your mouth are either going to help people or they're going to hurt people. Have you ever heard that children's rhyme, "Sticks and stones may, you know, may break my bones, but names will never hurt me"? Why are they saying that? I remember saying that as a kid. You're saying it because you're actually, your feelings are hurt. And you're trying to tell them, "Hey, you can say that, but it doesn't hurt me." Well, in fact, you got a reply like that means you already are hurt. It does hurt you. And so the Bible actually backs this up. Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds." You get that? Words are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So words actually do wound people. And we know that. That's why we use some of the words we use at times. We want to get them. We want to jab them a little bit. Like, take that, bud. Now, there's another verse. Proverbs 12, verse 18. This is another very important verse. It shows, talks about the power of our speech to be able to hurt or heal. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's not good, by the way. But the tongue of the wise is health. So he's contrasting it. There are people who use their tongue to pierce and to cut and to hurt other people. That's one kind of person. Then the other kind of person, which is the wise person. So who do you think the first type of person is? It would be a foolish person. The foolish person is the kind of person who just wants to walk around and cut people down and tear people down and use their tongue to inflict pain and suffering. By the way, there's a lot of people who like to be sarcastic. And sarcasm can be used for some humor. But a lot of times how sarcasm is used is really to hurt people. And you better be very, very careful with sarcasm. And I think sometimes there's not enough care used with sarcasm. I think it's way overused. So there is a speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So either what you say can hurt people or can help people. So think about you. Think about your relationships. Think about this week. People you've talked to. Interactions with family members, friends, people at school, people at work, wherever it is. What have you said that was helpful and constructive and that built people up? What have you said that has tore people down, whether it's in front of them or behind their back? So I'm just giving you a couple reasons why we should control our speech, because it actually does have some pretty important ramifications. It's going to reveal who and what we are. It has the power to hurt or to heal. Let me give you a third one. Your speech can damage your testimony. You know, I can think pretty highly of somebody, and then I can hear them say something and then go, oh, that guy is a jerk. And, you know, those years of him building his testimony can be ruined just by one statement. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's just what happens, isn't it? So that's why we better be very, very careful with what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 10, verse 19. I have right next to this verse in my Bible, don't run your mouth. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, you're wise sometimes if you just bite your tongue, close your lips. Don't say what's coming to your mind, because the more you speak, the more likely you are to say something you shouldn't say. And that's especially true when you're angry. When you're angry, that's a really good time to not talk too much. How about this? A Christian who can't control his speech, can that affect his opportunity to witness to people? You're at the restaurant. You're not getting the service you want to have. And so you're going to let them have it. You know, you got your rights, you're paying, and they ought to be waiting on you hand and foot. And so you're so adamant about making your point at the restaurant that it comes time to pay the bill, and you reach in your pocket for a tract. You're like, maybe I shouldn't leave that today because I didn't act like a Christian. So it really can damage our testimony. It can hinder our opportunities to witness and to help other people. Okay, if that's not enough, let me give you a fourth reason why we should control our speech. Because your speech has the power to destroy. And I get this from, you don't have to turn to James, just stay there in Proverbs, because we'll be in Proverbs chapter 13 in just a minute. But words can destroy families. They really do. They start to destroy marriages. I remember counseling someone, you know, husband and wife It is funny now, but it wasn't then. And they were fighting and arguing, you know, and then they were telling me, you know, what was going on. And one and guy said, yeah, she said that she doesn't love me anymore. And then she's yelling at her husband, yeah, I never really loved you anyway. I love my mom more than I love you. And it just, why? Just because they're having an argument. And they're just trying to, you know, rub it in. That will destroy your marriage. If you haven't figured that one out yet. Okay? Words can destroy our friendships, our fortunes, our futures. So in James chapter 3, verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire. I know you know this, that fires consume things. Fires can be very destructive. So the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's pretty strong language. The tongue is a fire. It's destructive. Then also a couple of verses later in verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. All right, if I give you some poison this morning, how do you think you'll be feeling? Not well for a little bit, and eventually you won't be feeling. So poison kills. Fire destroys. In other words, and that's what God says our tongue is like, and our speech, our words can be very poisonous. That's why we better control what we say. You know, you say the wrong thing at work, you're going to lose your job. So we have to be careful in every aspect of our life. You can hurt others, but you can also hurt yourself by your speech. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So just open up your mouth real wide and just blab it and say whatever comes to your mind, you will have destruction. So I don't want to be destroyed. Well, bite your tongue. Just bite your tongue. It's amazing, you know, this younger generation now has very, has lost their respect for authority, and they'll be so quick to talk down to authority, so quick to talk bad about authority. There's so little respect for that. And it's getting worse. And it's just what they do. They don't even think twice about it. They don't even think it's a problem. But I'm telling you, it is a problem. And you're running into God, and you're breaking his laws, and you will pay for it. You cannot escape reaping what you have sown. And so God says, he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Whether you believe it or agree with it or not, it's still going to happen. So that's why we ought to take heed to what God says. All right, let me give you the last of these reasons. It's not the last of my lessons, so don't get too nervous or excited here. Your speech can get you in trouble with God. All right, so your speech has the power to destroy, but now your speech can get you in trouble with God. It won't go well with you if you say things that get God angry. All right? In Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And then in verse 19, it says, gives a couple of these things that he hates. A false witness that speaketh lies. So if you tell lies, God hates that. Then he that soweth discord among brethren. And so if you're telling lies, you're stirring up strife, you're gossiping, you're trying to get one person against another person, that upsets the Lord, and that's not going to go well for you. Even our, you know, useless, frivolous talk can get us into trouble. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle, which the word idle there is talking about useless, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. We will all give an account for the things that we say. Those useless things, those things that just didn't have to be said, we give an account to God for. Now, not only those ones, but then the really, those really big bad things that we say. Yeah, we'll give an account for those. But even those useless ones, those ones that just didn't have to be said, we're going to give an account for. So that's the first point. Why should we control our speech? Secondly, when should you control your speech? And I'm not going to elaborate on this. If you have the outline, I'll just give you the blanks and comment briefly so we can get to the last one because time is ticking. Does it really tick when it's a digital? Maybe not. Time is digitizing. All right, so when should you control your speech? Certainly, obviously, at all times. But here are some particular situations that we should be aware of. First of all, letter A, if you have the outline, when you're angry. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. The person who enters into contention is a fool. So just don't go there. It's easy, it's tempting, but just don't go there. So when you're angry, don't get in there, because pretty soon, if things, one thing leads to the next thing you know, you're calling, oh yeah, let's duke it out, man. And that's foolish. James 1:19-20 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then he says, why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, when you're angry, you're going to say things you shouldn't say, and that's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for others. Let me get to the next one here. So, when should we control our speech? When we're angry. How about, letter B, when you want to hurt someone's feelings. Okay. As I mentioned, sometimes you just want to let someone have it. And we use our tongues like a sword. The Bible, we read that verse, Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Swords, they cut, they pierce, they slice, they maim their victims. And this is not how Christians should treat other people and react to people who are not kind to us. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you may want to hurt those people who hurt you. I get that. I understand that. We all want to do that naturally, but we should do the opposite. Romans 12:14 says, bless them which bless you, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. All right, I'm getting more bogged down. Letter C. When you are tempted to manipulate someone, oh yeah, notice the tactic of the Proverbs 7 woman when she was trying to entice the young man. Proverbs 7:21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. So she flattered him and got him to do what she wanted him to do. The sad thing is that it worked. So we should not manipulate people to do what we want them to do. Obviously, especially when we're trying to get them to do something wrong. Then the last one there, letter D, is when you want to air your problems with others. Proverbs 25:9-10. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Now let me get to the last point here. How can you and I control our speech? How? Because we've seen that we need to. If we don't, there's going to be some problems. So how can we do this? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, think before you speak. Just pause and think. Proverbs 15:28 gives us this one. The heart of the righteous studieth, and we talked about this verse before, studieth to answer. That word means ponder. So he thinks before he answers. What kind of person thinks before he answers? A righteous person. What kind of person doesn't think before they speak? Now that would be an unrighteous or a wicked person. You say, well, that's not me. That's just my personality. Well, then you can say you got a wicked personality. I don't care what you want to say. But it's still Bible here that we have got to, no matter what our makeup and our chemistry and our personality and our temperament, all those things, it doesn't matter. What we have to do is learn to control ourselves. So it starts by thinking before we speak. So the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. We need to learn to act, not react. Take your time, think, bite your tongue, and then speak. Secondly, pray. Prayer really does change things. And ask God for help. He wants to help you control your speech. And so here's a prayer that I have prayed many times. You say, well, should I pray it too? Yeah, I borrowed it from David. It's found in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Lord, help me not to say something stupid or evil or wrong or hurtful. We've got to just ask God to do that. Then thirdly, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you don't guard your heart and you just run your mouth, you will have issues. Okay. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So what's in your heart will eventually come out. So you need to guard your heart and protect what's in there, what you're thinking about. Because what you think about, you're actually going to say and do someday. Then letter D, fourthly here, listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, when Elijah stood upon the mountain, the Lord passed by. There was a strong wind, there was a great earthquake, and there was this consuming fire. He's looking for the Lord in all of this. And I want you to see and consider Elijah's conclusion as the Lord came passed by him. He said, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. That idea, a still, small voice. God usually speaks very quietly to our hearts before we do or say something wrong. There's this little prompting, like, don't do that. The temptation is screaming at you, say this. And the Holy Spirit just says, don't say that. And it's so easy just to push him aside and go on the way we want to. Let me just say this. When he speaks softly, stop and listen. And we get ourselves into problems. Not because God's not willing to help. It's because we're not wanting to take it. We want to do what we want to do. And then last one is this. Replace troublesome words with pleasant words. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So say some pleasant words. It actually helps your marriage. Parents with your children, say something nice. So you're all my kids. Well, you obviously don't know yourself either. Maybe if you were a little bit more pleasant, they would too. Proverbs 31:26. So you already know now, Proverbs 31 is talking about the women, so you guys just turned it off. It's talking about a virtuous woman. The word virtuous means strong. So we're talking about strength. So a strong woman, here's some characteristics about a strong woman. And guys, I know most of you would pride yourself with being stronger than women, so you have to follow this too. Sorry. So here we go. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Sometimes men think they're exempt from being kind. I'm a man. I'm supposed to be harsh and rough and gruff. You haven't studied the life of Jesus very much, have you? And then Paul says this in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now that's given to all of us by the Apostle Paul. So if you think you're exempt from Proverbs 31, sorry, you're not exempt from it. And you're certainly not exempt from Ephesians 4:29. No corrupt communication should go out, but instead we should put some good communication in. That which is good to the use of edifying. So is God concerned about our speech? Very much so. Should we control our tongue and bite our tongue? Yes. Do we always? No. And don't forget some of these important things. What you say reveals what you are. And there's a lot of power in what you say. And you do have the right to remain silent. Let's pray. Father, we